Good morning. Let's continue our worship as we look at God's Word this morning. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. Let me invite our children to stay with us through the duration of the service. We'd love for you to stay for communion. If you are able, I would love for you to stand in honor of God's Word as we read this passage of Scripture this morning. Exodus 12:14 says this. This is the day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Let's pray. God, great is your faithfulness. Thank you for loving us beyond what our sins and our failures deserve. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your truth. I pray right now as we look into your word that your truth would transform us, that your Holy Spirit would work in each of our hearts. Change us. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. As we just read, the instructions here in Exodus, they are to commemorate, they are to remember something. And this weekend we remember all of the hard work we put in, and we get to spend some time with our family and friends, and I pray you all have a great Labor Day weekend. I want to start this morning by talking about something, you know, that's fun to talk about. We're going to talk about tattoos. I don't know how you feel about tattoos. I don't have one. I'm probably never going to get one because my mind changes too much. I would get something and then, you know, a week later I'd be like, why did I get this? And that, those things are permanent. And so I don't want to make any rash decisions there. But I had a buddy one time who told me if he were to get any tattoo, he would get one right on his hand right here, right where he looks at his watch, and he would get two dates. Anybody want to guess what dates he would get tattooed on his hand? He said he'd get his anniversary and his wife's birthday. Which again, that's just a reminder that we all are prone to forget. We are prone to forget, and even to forget things that we shouldn't forget, things that are very important. And that's what we see today in our passage, the Lord instituting the Passover, something he does not want his people to forget. He wants them to remember. Remember. And this is the instruction for us today, to remember. Remember God and remember his saving acts. And so that's what our passage instructs us in today. Exodus 12, it comes in a portion of Scripture where we are in Egypt. God's people are in Egypt. They have been under the oppression of the Egyptian rulers for almost 400 years, as God predicted. And God has told his people, it is time to, I'm going to save you from this oppression. I'm going to save you from these people who've been persecuting you. Just again, as he promised in his faithful word, he promised after 400 years, he would deliver them. And it is time. And he's been preparing the way for their exodus in a miraculous fashion. We've just walked through in this portion of Scripture, if you look at the book of Exodus, he's done 10 miraculous plagues where there was darkness, there was the Nile was turned to blood, there was all these miraculous acts. At the beginning, some of the Egyptian holy men were replicating these acts, but eventually it got to a point where they could not replicate what God was doing. And God was showing them, hey, let my people go. Let my people out of Egypt. It is time. And he was telling them, I am God. Listen to me. But over and over again, we see this refrain in Scripture where Pharaoh hardens his heart and he does not let God's people go despite constant warnings. And what we need to see here is that God is holy. Your first blank there this morning. Remember God's holiness. God has been telling the Egyptians, He's been showing them, He is holy. Holy is, again, it's a church word we use a lot. Quick definition for holiness is otherness, set apartness. And God is showing the Egyptians, He's showing His people, the Israelites, that He is holy. He is set apart. He is unlike any other being in the universe. God is holy. I'm reminded of this summer, one of my uncles, we got to have a beach vacation in Myrtle Beach, and he's retired, and he posted a picture on Facebook, and he said, just enjoying my retirement life on the beach. And the picture that he posted is a picture just of the sun. And one of my cousins commented and said, you shouldn't look at the sun, Uncle Mike. It'll hurt. It's not a good idea. Because again, the sun is so bright and it's glorious. It's so burning hot. And if you look at it too long for too much time, it's going to hurt your eyes. And we're saying, Uncle Mike, do not look at the sun. You shouldn't be looking at the sun. And again, I think a few weeks later, he posted another picture looking at the sun. Again, it's a reminder that the sun is holy. It's set apart. It's super bright. It's different than looking at anything else in our vision. And this is our God. He is holy. He is set apart in His perfections, in His glory, in His goodness, in His purity. And He is showing the Egyptians, He's showing the world, He's showing His people as He, throughout these plagues, He's been showing them, He is holy, He is all powerful, He is able to control everything in the world, He is sovereign. We see that in the, all those plagues, and He's been highlighting His holiness, His otherness. And He's telling His people right now, as He's instituting the Passover in Exodus 12, He's telling them these instructions to follow. And as I was studying this passage this week, and I see all these instructions, again, it may not be the most exciting reading material, but again, I'm watching these instructions that God is giving His people. And again, I think I would listen to someone who is able to turn a river into blood, who is able to literally turn off the lights and make it completely dark. And He's telling His people, we see in Exodus 12, verse 24 through 27, He tells His people, He says, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as He promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when He struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. Again, He's given them these instructions. God is about to do, after He's about to do the 10th plague, where He's going to judge the Israelites, and He's told them, He's warned them that if Pharaoh does not let the people go, the firstborn of each house is going to die. And He wants to spare His people. And He's telling them, I'm giving you a way to escape this coming judgment, but you have to obey these instructions. And and it says again at the end in verse 27, the people, after they heard these instructions, they bowed down in worship. Again, in respect of the holiness of God. The holiness of God. And then we see in verse 28, the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. Again, they took God seriously. That's the reminder for us this morning. It can be so quick. We can be so quick to forget what's most important. Just like my buddy, he said he needed that tattoo to remember those two dates that are so important. We need to remember, just as the Israelites and the Egyptians were being reminded of the holiness of God through these 10 plagues. And they are obeying these instructions because they know God is holy. He is worthy of our respect and our worship and our honor. And that's the same truth we need to remember today. God is holy. Remember God's holiness. I just finished reading the Chronicles of Narnia with my children, and it was awesome. It was a fun, just bedtime routine that we got in. And one of my favorite parts of the Chronicles of Narnia, the main, character, the protagonist, Aslan, the lion, again, he is great and powerful and strong. And I remember in one of the parts of the stories, it says, they're describing Aslan, and one of the characters says, or one of the children asks about Aslan, they say, is he safe? Is Aslan safe? And one of the animals responds about Aslan and says, no, he's not safe, but he's good. He's not safe, but he's good. The same is true with God. God is holy. He is all powerful. He's not safe, but he is good. He is good. He's a good God. And we have to remember God's holiness. And we also must remember that God's holiness demands judgment. Remember that God's holiness demands judgment. So again, God is just like a good parent. A good parent is going to teach their child right from wrong. He's going to tell them, hey, don't put your hand on that hot stove or you'll get what? Burned. God has been warning the Egyptians of this coming judgment. He has told Pharaoh countless times, let my people go. And yet over and over, Pharaoh has stubbornly refused to follow the Lord's command. And again, God, just as God told Adam and Eve in the garden, hey, you can enjoy everything in this garden, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he gives us his commands in his word, the Ten Commandments. Put no other gods before me. God gives us clear and good instructions. Yet we all, just as Pharaoh, just as Adam and Eve, we all turn away from this holy God, and we do contrary to what he commands. And God has warned us, just as he warned Adam and Eve, just as he's warned Pharaoh, I will punish sin. I must punish sin. Just as a just judge cannot let a criminal go free, that would not be righteous. That would not be just. In the same way, God's holiness demands judgment. He's warned the Egyptians of what's to come. We see in Exodus 12:12, he's telling the Israelites what's going to come. He says, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Again, God giving clear instructions in his word. And we see these same instructions, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Everyone who goes against this holy God is deserving of an eternal punishment. Death, separation from God. I'm reminded of an illustration I heard one time from Pastor David Platt, and I was even talking with David Splon about this illustration this week. But if I were to right now go up and hit David Vaughn in the face, there would be some consequences for that, would there not? There would be some tension. We might get in a scrap here in the sanctuary. There would be something. Somebody have to restrain me. There'd be consequences. If I were to hit a Shelby County Sheriff's Deputy, there's also going to be consequences, and the consequences are going to escalate. They're going to be greater because I've offended a greater party with more authority. Well, again, let's say I'm in Egypt in the Exodus time, and I hit Pharaoh in the face. Well, now we're talking about a whole different ball game. I'm probably not going to be too much longer for this world if I literally hit the Pharaoh in the face. I'm probably going to get the death penalty. Again, as the party you offend is greater, the consequence for offending that party is greater. And when we offend, when we go rebel against the holy God, He is just to give us the punishment that our sins deserve. He is just. He is righteous to do so. God's holiness demands judgment. And we see His judgment executed here in the Exodus story. Exodus 12, 29 through 30. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt. And this is sobering every time I read this passage. For there was not a house without someone dead. Again, God's holiness demands judgment. I know this is not a fun thing to talk about, but again, it's a reality we all need to remember. There is right, there is wrong in this world. There is God, and we need to take Him seriously. He is just. But, and here's the good news, because again, if all of us are honest with ourselves and with God, we know if there's only justice, if there's only judgment, we all know in our sins, in our failures, in our weaknesses, what we deserve. We've all been like Pharaoh. We've all been stubborn. We've all been rebellious. And that's where we also need to remember, God's mercy provides what His judgment demands. God's mercy provides what His judgment demands. He does not leave us without hope. He says to His people in Exodus 12:3, He says, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household." And many of you know, I'm a big fan of rap music. I love Christian rap music. One of my favorite rappers is a guy named Shy Lin, and he devoted a whole song to the Passover. And what I love about this song, if you can look it up on Spotify, Apple Music, but it pictures this scenario, because again, let's put ourselves in the shoes of these Israelites. And that's what he does in this song, and it talks about this family having dinner right before the Passover, and it's a son and a daughter, a bigger brother and a little brother, and the dad's taking the lamb, just as it's saying here in 12:3, taking the lamb for his family, and the daughter's like, "Dad, what are you doing with Fluffy?" Like, it's the pet of the family, and the older brother's like, "Oh, I know what he's doing with Fluffy," and the dad's like, be quiet, because again, he doesn't want to freak out his daughter. But again, this is the picture of our God. Again, this lamb of this family, the lamb didn't rebel. The lamb was innocent. And yet God, in His sovereign providence, in His plan, He's given us a foreshadowing of His ultimate plan. And this, He's saying, take this lamb, this innocent lamb, each family, and instead of you and your family being judged and the firstborn of your house dying, I want you to sacrifice this lamb in its place. And he goes on, Exodus 12:6-14. "Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them, slaughter the lambs at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some of it is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And again, I love to share with our students as we go to Sunday school that the Bible is not just a random collection of histories and stories and events. No, the Bible is one narrative. It's one story of how God is going to save His people. How God is going to save His people from judgment through His mercy and the provision of a substitute. We see that pattern here in Exodus 12 as the substitute for the Israelites is provided in this sacrificial lamb. Its blood is shed, and then the blood is put over the doors as a sign, we trust in you, God. We trust you. And we look to you, we look to this sacrifice, this blood in our place, so that we can be passed over from your righteous judgment. God's mercy provides that substitute. And we are here today in this service, in this sanctuary, because we know not just the blood of an animal has been shed in our place so that God's judgment would pass over us. No, as the book of Hebrews says, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. Humans are the one. We each have gone astray. We each sin against God as human beings. So a payment had to be made in our place, not by the blood of an animal, but the blood of a human being. And God provided such a human being in our place, in His Son, the God-man, Jesus Christ. God sent Himself in the form of His Son, and He took on our earthly body. He was hungry. He was tired. He was thirsty. He wept. And we see in John 1:29, this God-man, He's about to get baptized by John the Baptist. And John sees this God-man, and he, in fulfillment of the scriptures, in fulfillment, in the ultimate fulfillment of the Passover, John says in John 1:29, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." God has provided the better lamb for us. He's provided Himself in the form of His Son, and Jesus came not risking His life. No, the Bible says He gave His life, the innocent one, in our place. He never sins. He lived a life fully righteous, fully holy before God. He deserved nothing but well done, good and faithful servant. As He comes out of the water, God the Father speaks over God the Son at His baptism and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." And yet, this holy one, this innocent one, is treated like a criminal, mocked, humiliated, hung on a cross to die. And as He hung on that cross, He went through judgment. Not for His sins, but for my sins. For your sins. so that God could pass over us. God's holy judgment would pass over us, and it fell on Jesus in our place. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and my sin because He was judged in our place. God's mercy provides a way to escape His judgment. So receive God's mercy in Jesus Christ. Receive God's mercy in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard this message over and over again of Jesus and Him dying on the cross, but have you put your faith in Him? Have you covered the doorpost of your heart with His blood? Have you said, I look to the blood spilled in my place. I trust in Jesus who went through judgment for me. I trust in Him. Have you surrendered your life to this great Savior, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world? Have you trusted in Him? Have you surrendered your life, your heart to Him? If you haven't, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you, that you would receive God's mercy in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. If you would want to talk more about that, how that works, talk to me, talk to Pastor Chris, talk to somebody. We would love to have that conversation with you. For those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ, today is a day to remember. Remember God's holiness. Remember God's holiness demands judgment. But remember God's mercy provides a way to get through His judgment and to be His child. And again, I know some people talk about Christians and they say, you know, I don't need that crutch. I don't need, you know, that. And if somebody were to say that to me, I'd say, you know, Jesus isn't a crutch to me. Jesus is more like my stretcher. Like, I am hopeless without Jesus. I know I am not, every day I am not who I want to be or who I should be fully. But every day I look to the Lamb who died in my place, who gives me His Holy Spirit, who gives me His mercy, who gives me His help. And that gets me through. That gives me hope. Remember the Lamb this week. Remember His blood shed in your place. Remember the love of God poured out for you in Jesus Christ and let that get you through. Receive God's mercy in Jesus Christ and remember. That's what we're about to do in communion. We are going, this is an ordinance, just as the passage we read this morning. This is an ordinance. God's people were to remember the old covenant, the Passover. But now we have a new and better lasting covenant in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we can remember His love, His sacrifice this morning. So let's remember, church. Pray with me. God, thank You so much that You did for us what we could never do for ourselves. You are our stretcher. You are our lifeline. We need You desperately. God, we are so quick to forget. I know I'm so quick to forget, but Your word reminds us, remember. Remember. Help us remember this morning. Help us remember Your holiness, Your justice, but also Your mercy, Your love that knows no bounds, Your faithfulness. Help us remember and look to You in faith. And if somebody has not surrendered their life to You in faith, has not put Your blood on the doorpost of their hearts, Jesus, I pray that today, that right now, they would trust in You. They would look to You, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We love You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.